O Lord Christ, our Savior dear, be thou ever near us. Grant us now a glad new year. Amen, Jesus. The text of God's Word for our special New Year's meditation is found in the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3, reading in verse 40 the following words. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our never-changing Lord and Savior, beloved hearers of His Word. Time passes. And much change doth bring, and sets a bound to everything. Thus the beloved hymn writer confesses concerning our life here in this world. With every passing day, yea, with every passing hour, minute, and second, the circumstances of life shift. Sometimes gradually, sometimes very suddenly from one extreme to another. Many of the factors which govern these changes are things which we poor, miserable, wretched, and weak sinners have absolutely no control over, can't do a thing about. While others, particularly those things that impact our lives negatively, are often of our own making. The temporal consequences of our sins, for example, the temporal consequences of our own foolishness. To be sure, when things are looking up in people's lives, they seem rather satisfied. They seem even self-satisfied with the way they are running things. But oh, when their lives suddenly take a turn for the worse. When, for example, disaster strikes and they suffer a blow to their health, to their economic conditions, to their prestige, or even to their security, oh, then they immediately begin to whine and complain. Not against themselves, not taking any responsibility for any of that themselves, but they complained against others. And even against God Himself, whom they expect to shoulder the blame for their sorrows and reverses. After all, since He's God, He could have kept all that from happening to them. And He didn't. Now, contrary to the widely accepted notion that among the children of this world, that is, that New Year's Eve is a night for wild partying, for blowing away all one's troubles in booze and bubbly, and for engaging in reckless and even raunchy behavior to kiss off the old year and to welcome in the new year, we Christians recognize the turn of the year to be a timely opportunity for sober reflection, for sober soul searching. It could, after all, be our last opportunity for sincere repentance for all of our sins. This evening could be our last opportunity for preparedness to depart from this fickle and changing world of wickedness and sorrow in a sudden and unexpected death. Could happen, you know. It's also a time to take stock of God's many blessings, of how wisely we have used them, and in some cases, how irresponsibly we have wasted both our spiritual and temporal blessings. And clearly, New Year's Eve is a special opportunity to look ahead to the coming year. resolving with God's help and by His grace to amend our sinful life of the past and to make more diligent use of His blessings in the future. Now, the children of this world make what they like to call New Year's resolutions. Conscious decisions on their part, by their own will and power and determination to change things in their lives. Hopefully for the better. And to get their life together, as they like to say. But what they fail to reckon with is the fact that without the Lord's blessing upon them, as the Holy Scriptures amply point out, their best intentioned resolves are doomed to failure. They're doomed to become the butt of jokes on the part of those people who have seen their resolutions fail in the past and are frankly sick and tired of hearing their excuses. But in this brief text of God's precious word before us this evening, we have, my dear brethren, the perfect model for our truly God-pleasing resolve as we approach the new year. This is a two-pronged Christian resolve upon which all other resolutions must depend if they are to meet with any success. The first part of our resolve is that we scrutinize our lives in the mirror of God's holy law and truly repent of our sins against Him and against one another. The second part is that we cast ourselves humbly and confidently upon our Lord Jesus in faith of the forgiveness of sins which He paid for with His own holy, precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death. We look to Him, not only for the forgiveness of what we've done wrong in the past, we look to Him for the strength to amend our lives in the future. And we look to Him for blessings that only He can provide us for our lives here on earth and for our eternal life in heaven. Now, the prophet Jeremiah exhorts us in this text as he exhorted the city of Jerusalem, which had been laid waste by its enemies in the Babylonian captivity. Let us search and try our ways. When we examine our lives, particularly with reference to the year now drawing to a close, we must do so not according to a standard that is comfortable for us, and not according to a measuring stick that makes us appear taller than we are, as if we're looking at ourselves in a trick mirror in a carnival or circus. But we must, first of all, search our lives, Jeremiah tells us, in such a way that we examine ourselves and our way of life in the mirror of God's holy law, which is the perfect reflection of how we look in the sight of our just and holy God. It's the perfect standard according to which all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that word all includes you and me and every single human being on the face of the earth. When that law says, in simple and plain terms, thou shalt not, and in our search of ourselves we find that we have done the forbidden thing anyway, we know that we have sinned. We know from God's word that the wages of sin is death. We know that because of one sin, we have earned ourselves the wages of sin, hell, and damnation. When the law commands us saying, thou shalt, And in searching our ways, as Jeremiah says, we find that we have neglected what God in His law requires of us. We know that we've sinned. And it's not that God merely expects us to do the best we can, as most people in this world today have determined God's will to be, but God's law demands perfection in thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. And who would be so foolish? Who would be so unrealistic? Who would be so downright hypocritical and dishonest as to claim perfection for himself? This is the easiest lesson to teach in confirmation class or in adult instruction class: the total depravity of our whole human nature. Because even the instructee will say, "Come on, Pastor, nobody's perfect." True statement takes care of the point entirely. And Jeremiah also says, try your ways. Test out what you have done and what you have not done, according to that same perfect standard. If your works do not measure up to the law's requirements of you, you stand guilty before Him. And that is, after all, the chief purpose of God's law: to show us our sins, to convict us in our conscience, to make us feel guilty and ashamed before God. For it is only when we are on a real guilt trip with regards to our behavior that we realize our utter helplessness and hopelessness before God and our dire need for a Savior. God's law is the means whereby He brings us to our knees with the jailer at Philippi to cry out in spiritual panic, "What must I do to be saved? I can't do anything really by myself. What must I do?" Or, with the publican in the temple smiting on his guilt-ridden breast, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Surely, when we survey our lives of even this past year alone, when we scrutinize them, when we search them, as Jeremiah says, and try them in the mirror of God's holy law, we have to wonder why we have not been consumed by God in His anger against us. Because we're compelled to cry out with Jacob of old, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." With the psalmist David, after his adultery with Bathsheba, when he was brought to the knowledge of his sin and transgression by Nathan the prophet, David confessed, "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So that's the first part of our truly God-pleasing resolve this New Year's Eve: that we acknowledge our many sins and shortcomings in God's sight, sincerely grieve over the fact that we have offended our God and Lord, cast out any semblance of excuse, self-defense, self-justification for what we've done, and strip ourselves of all pride and arrogance. For then and only then do we have truly contrite, grieving hearts, then and only then are we truly penitent sinners who long for the grace of God in the gospel. But then the Lord's prophet also tells us, let us turn again to the Lord. Let us turn again to the Lord. Let us, by God's grace, go back where we once were as children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Let us remember his loving kindness to us and to all men in sending his only begotten Son down to this wretched place to be the Redeemer, the Savior, the Rescuer of all mankind. Let us remember the promise that he makes to all poor, contrite sinners. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. God never cuts us loose to do it on our own. God doesn't expect us to do it on our own because we can't do it on our own. But he that believeth on him, he that believeth on the Savior is not condemned, for the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, it was because of Jesus, whose name literally means Savior. It was because of Jesus that the Father in heaven reconciled the world unto himself. Reconciliation is usually a two-way street. Two people have an argument, maybe a big serious argument, and they kind of go their separate ways. If they're going to be reconciled, they have to come together. It's a cooperative venture, not God's reconciliation. God reconciled the world of helpless, miserable, wretched sinners unto himself, all because of what Jesus did for us. This is the best news ever to strike the human ear, the good tidings of the gospel that brings peace to souls that are fearful because of their guilt, that brings calm to hearts consumed with anxiety because of the punishment that they expect. This is a gospel that brings real joy to spirits sad and dejected because of their alienation from God. And all of those benefits, brethren, are yours and mine by confidence in Jesus as our dear Savior. As we cling alone to him and to his precious merits rendered to God in our stead as the cause, as the price of our reconciliation to the Father in heaven. Indeed, without this second part of our New Year's resolve, namely to hold fast to Jesus as our Savior, we would all be just so many other sad, depressed, and hopeless individuals in this world, for whom the New Year and the future beyond hold nothing but fear and dread, anxiety and despair. You ask people tonight what happy New Year means to them under the present circumstances of this pandemic we're experiencing. People aren't very happy. People are fearful. They're sitting on the edge of their seats wondering whether they're going to be the next ones to die, something we haven't experienced in our lifetime here in this world. But since by God's grace we do hold fast to Jesus as our dear Savior for the pardon and peace and joy that we have only from him, we also have other benefits that accompany our salvation. We could call them fringe benefits besides salvation. Benefits that make the new year ahead bright indeed for us Christians. When we resolve under God and by His grace to cling to our Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin, we are guaranteed also the Holy Spirit's help in amending our sinful lives, fixing things so that they comport more properly with the Lord's expectation of us. By His power, we can overcome evil with good. We can do good works pleasing in His sight, not to earn His favor, but to praise His favor. And that's why all our other resolutions and good intentions hang on this primary Christian resolve. For without the Holy Spirit's help, we could never carry out even one of our resolves. Now, we also have, as a fringe benefit of our Christian resolve, the confidence that God will bless us in our lives, that God will, according to His promise, turn all ills and all misfortunes into good for us, even COVID-19. We have God's promise that He will defend us against all dangers of body and soul. We have God's assurance that He will preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting as we continue in the Savior's word of grace. We have His promise to lead us to glory everlasting. My sheep hear My voice, He says, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of My hand. Now that, my dear brethren, is the confidence that counts as we look forward to the new year before us. For come what may, the Apostle Paul assures us, come tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, even violence against us, whatever may lie ahead for us in this new year of 2021, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Romans 8:35. That's why our Christian resolve for the new year must be the two-pronged resolve of our text. Freely to acknowledge our sins and to repent of them before God, and confidently to cling to Jesus Christ as our only Savior and Redeemer. For then we can meet the new year head on. We don't have to go hide in a corner someplace in fear and trepidation of what tomorrow might bring. We can meet the new year without fear, without dread, without anxiety of any kind, confiding in our Savior and following in His steps, nourished regularly in His precious word of life. Then we can declare with the Apostle Paul, and you should be persuaded of the same thing, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, good or evil, nor principalities, governments, nor powers, nor things present, things going on right now, nor things to come, things going to happen in the future, nor height when we're feeling up, nor depth when we're feeling depressed, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God grant to each and every one of us such New Year's confidence as we sincerely make and diligently follow through on our truly God-pleasing resolve this evening and all through our life. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. God grant that to us by His Holy Spirit for His dear Son's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding confidence in Christ your Savior unto life everlasting. Amen.